Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, editorial director with NAREIT. Joining me on the other end of the line is Joel Kranz, a partner with Goodman Proctor, who is part of the firm's real estate REITs and real estate capital markets practice. Joel, how are you doing?
I am well. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. Doing very well. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the major trends in the capital markets. I want to start off talking a little bit about some of the transactions that we've seen recently. It seems as though, just completely off the cuff, what we're seeing is a lot of consolidation. I'm wondering, you know, what is driving that in your mind, and if that is, in fact, an accurate characterization of what's been going on with a lot of these deals.
I think that's true. I think you have to look back a couple of years, go back to the time when money was cheap, and a lot of the deals that we were seeing, you know, virtually all the deals that we were seeing were not consolidations. They were going private, or there were other deals where cash was king, and shareholders were selling out at you know, a premium, maybe at the top of the market in hindsight. That's not the market that we have today. We have an active market, you know, very different from a couple of years ago, or a few years ago, where there's very little activity at all. We have a lot of activity. The activity is largely strategic. I think you see consolidation in particular sectors. You're seeing, for example, consolidation of the healthcare sector. You see consolidation in the hotel sector. You're seeing the hospitality sector. You're seeing it in the multifamily sector, particularly. What you're seeing is the reaction, I think, of market participants to very large REITs that have been formed in their sector. So if you're a regional player and one of the larger players in the sector has gotten even bigger, you feel compelled to make some moves of your own, and sometimes that results in you combining your operations with another regional player to form you know, somewhat larger platform.
And you mentioned a few different sectors there: healthcare, hotels. Are there any others that you think might be kind of ripe for consolidation? And is there anything about those particular sectors that seems to be driving some of that movement?
You know, that's a hard question to. It's hard to predict what might, where the next sector would be. Again, it all depends often on valuations. You see, the healthcare sector was very hot, you know, very, very hot. Maybe some might say even hotter than it needed to be over the last couple of years. It's obviously given back a lot of that over the last period. A lot of you know, what happens is when the sector is hot is that the share prices become a tempting and a very useful currency. And so when you have a share price that's trading above NAV and it's at a premium, you use that as a currency to acquire other companies or combine with other companies. So when we start seeing premiums being paid across an entire sector, and you start seeing currencies become attractive. Stocks or share prices start becoming approaching the levels of being a very attractive currency. That's when you start seeing consolidation.
Again, folks, talking with Joel Kranz of Goodwin Procter. So, tell me, Joel, what's your view of the appetite for REIT IPOs in this market?
Again, you know, the historically, in our sector, it's been sort of cyclical. You know, either the product was coming out of private hands and back to the market, or was, you know, coming from the public markets, you know, being taken private back in the going private days. We have a little bit of both currently in the sector. Our IPO market in the United States, and I'm speaking specifically about a New York Stock Exchange listing for a public REIT. The market's there. You can see the very large portfolios, Blackstone's portfolios that are coming back, Brixmore, American Homes for Rent, or others. There are opportunities. There are opportunities for focused players, for large players, for players with tried and true portfolios. There are opportunities for new sector type REITs. So some of these REITs that are coming off of conversions with the IRS blessing, you know, those are REITs that are not represented in the market. as a general matter, we have a, you know, we've got 140-year-plus equity REITs in our market. That's, you know, by far the largest of any in the market. And most sectors are pretty well represented. So if you want to be an IPO candidate, in this market, you need to have something to sell that's different from other existing REITs in your particular sector. So you need to differentiate yourself in some way. And if you can't, one, that's a harder sell. Two, investors are going to be asking for a more meaningful discount, and so your IPO won't be as successful as it might be. So a long way of saying is, for the right candidate, our IPO market is robust. It's out there. It's available, and certainly we're seeing we're seeing the qualified candidates taking advantage of it. On the flip side, for smaller REITs, for less focused REITs, for REITs that are maybe externally managed and have other governance issues that are not ripe for the public market, it's actually a very challenging IPO market.
And finishing up, you mentioned some of the challenges there. How about for maybe companies that are looking to go into the public non-listed space?
And so the public non-listed space is a bit of a different animal. I mean, as you know, it's not traded, so there's not a daily share price. And that's the beauty of that structure to the extent you're a fan. They're doing very well. I mean, they're raising. I mean, that sector of the market has gone from being smaller players to really meaningful size companies, in the multi-billions of dollars. And those companies are now real competitors to even the public REITs in that sector. And so that's a an avenue for capital raising that's being used and being used well by the right people. I think, that's a very large part of revenue raised by non-exchange traded REITs are raised by just a select few groups of REITs or sponsors. Typically, and maybe this is what you originally were intending, typically these non-exchange traded REITs don't exist as non-exchange traded REITs forever. They have somewhat of a limited lifespan, and at some point the investors are looking for liquidity. And so, we've seen a rash of exit strategies over the last couple of years, and presumably we will see more. And you're absolutely right. Some of those, the exit strategy will be an IPO, and they will list on the New York Stock Exchange or another exchange. And that's the way the liquidity will come. Sometimes it will come along with the capital raise, but often just as often not, and there'll be faith and liquidity for those investors who have been in there, sort of locked up for a long time. But many of those portfolios will also trade either in the private sector or they'll be acquired by an existing REIT. We've seen a couple of transactions where non-exchange traded REITs have merged with public companies, and together they form a large company. So there's a lot of activity in that sector that's driven by the fact that those REITs, the non-exchange traded REITs, that's not a permanent model the way a public REIT model would be. It's a finite life model that eventually needs to find an exit somewhere.
All right. Well, Joel, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure.
And thank you all for joining us, too, for the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kenny.